Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And for all those who may be listening on our radio program, we welcome you this morning. Praise God that we have this blessing. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice in it.
Amen.
Right? This is the day that all of us as God's children around the world, someday soon when Jesus comes back, this is the day on which we will worship throughout eternity in heaven. Praise God for that. This is just a reminder, a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like when we get there. What a day of glory that will be when we all get there. Well, I have a testimony today I'd like to give. Our car broke down, and it was broken for a week and a half, 2 weeks, I think. We couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. And we had been putting these coil packs in one at a time, costing us a couple $100 every time they put it in. And finally, we said, just replace all of them. And we had already replaced four, I think, or five, and they kept breaking down. So anyway, we ended up getting our car fixed, and it's running really well now. And just before that happened, though, our dryer broke down. And so we had to call Robert's Repair to come and fix our dryer. And just before that, our refrigerator broke down. And we had to have Robert's Repair come and fix our refrigerator. And then I realized after I had planted 152 tomato plants out in my greenhouse, I realized that when I tried to put the heater on, when we had the frost last weekend, the heater is broke down. So now I have to get the heater fixed. But through all of that, I praise God for all of those blessings, because it is in those situations that we can come to God and ask Him to help us. And God has helped fix all of those things that have kept breaking down, going bad. And you can get a little discouraged when it happens one after another, but it's God who provides for every one of us. He takes care of all of our needs, no matter what the situation may be. We can praise Him and thank Him that He's constantly with us, watching over us and taking care of us. I'd like to start today, as we begin this message today, humble me so that I can do thy will. I would like to begin with prayer. Will you join me, please? Heavenly Father, there is no way that we can understand your will for our life. There's no way, Lord, that we can understand your word unless your Holy Spirit comes and teaches us. So today, Lord, we not only open up this church, we open up our hearts and our minds to your teaching today. Guide us with your Spirit so that we can hear your voice speaking to us. Give us clarity of thought. Give me the kind of holy boldness I need to preach this message with power and conviction and with clarity. And we thank you for hearing this prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We need to learn to listen to God. And I think God can speak to us. And oftentimes there are people who say they want to have God stand right in front of them and speak a message to them. But there's other ways that God speaks to us. God can speak to us through a dream. He can impress our hearts and minds with something. We can read His word and find out what His will is for our life. The popular thing, I think, today is we think about somebody telling us what to do. And I believe that I've heard this many times. I've been guilty of saying it too many times. And I know that heaven takes account of all the things that we say. And I just pray the blood of Jesus has wiped away all of those things that I have said in the past, especially this phrase, you can't tell me what to do. You ever heard that? Maybe you've been saying that too. You can't tell me what to do. And in this secular humanistic theology that is surrounding us in this world today, it tells us that we are the number one person and that we must come first. And you can see that everywhere. Just drive around 465 during the morning rush or in the evening when it's time for everybody to go home from work. Everybody's struggling to be first. There's car parts littered all over the expressway. Black marks everywhere you look where somebody's trying to squeeze in. Somebody's trying to be first. It seems that people believe that their views are the only ones that really matter, that no one can tell us what to do. We're free. We've got liberty. We can make our own decisions. We can do whatever we want. Nobody can tell us what to do, not our parents, not teachers, not the preacher, not the prophet. Even God has to be silent and subservient to our viewpoints and our will. And you see, the problem with theology is that God is not a part of the solution, but a part of the problem in many people's minds. Now, I want you to think about this little statement that I'm going to read to you. Half of our troubles come from wanting our own way. The other half comes from being allowed to have it. Think about how true that is in our life today. Half of our problems come from wanting our way, right now, the way we want it. And the other half of our problems come from being able to get all that. And as children, we grow up with those two concepts raging in our hearts and minds. It's got to be all for me. It's got to be my way right now. And then we grow up believing that, yes, we're allowed to have anything we want whenever we want it, just the way we want it. And we're so accustomed, I think, telling everyone that you can't tell me what to do, that even when God speaks to us through his servants, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, we have turned him off and we're saying to him, you can't tell me what to do. I can make up my own mind. I can do what I believe. You see, it is by listening to God that we will find strength to be able to change our wicked ways through the power of his presence in the Holy Spirit. And the more hectic, the more busy, the more demanding that life is for you and for me, it demanding your life to comply with something, the more demanding that it is, the more that we need to spend time listening to God, speaking to us, either in those quiet moments that we have in meditation, or those quiet moments that we spend time in prayer, or those quiet moments that we spend reading his word, listening, reflecting upon what God has said to each one of us. You need to be able to apply what you hear to your own self, not to your neighbor, not to somebody else in your family. You be able to speak to God in prayer and be able to listen to him. And it's humbling to know that when we're reading God's word and when we're praying, that God is speaking to each one of us in some way, in some form. God is relating to us. We must humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. You look with me in James chapter 4, verse 10. In James chapter 4, at verse number 10. And it says here in the scriptures in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord, and he shall lift you up or exalt you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord before God. Is to say to God, yes, God, whatever you say to me, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. You see, if we had a king in this country and the king would command you or myself to do something, we would be obligated to do it. And I would almost bet that if the president told us to do something of the United States, we would be obligated to do it. So what about God, who is the king of this universe, who rules over all men and things of this universe? When he tells us something, are we able to say to him, you can't tell me what to do? Or are we willing to follow what God knows is best for us? I think in this text in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that God is trying to teach his people that they need to be humble. They need to be able to listen to him. They need to be able to pray and hear his voice and comply with what he is saying to them. And this goes along with, I think, humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We need to kneel down, to bow down, to fold our hands. Humble means to bend the knee and to bring ourselves down low into subjection before the king of this universe. We need to humble ourselves before God, in recognition of his awesomeness, of his mighty power. We need to respond to him in humility. And Jesus spent his whole night in prayer while his disciples were sleeping. And because of this, the Father dwelt in Jesus in power, and he in the Father. And he found strength in his Father because he spent time with his Father, humbled before him. And it made it possible for Jesus to withstand all the persecution and insults and torture and even death on the cross for you and I. I wonder how long we could put up with that kind of persecution, that kind of rejection, the kind of torture, the kind of things that were said about him that were totally untrue. How could we withstand that? I believe that God wants to live inside of each one of us. and it is by having time with the Father. He humbled himself before his Father. He was able to find strength to be able to exist in the world that was doing so much to end his life. Spirituality is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and to be known by him. How many of you want to be known by God today? Is there anybody here? I want to be known by God. I don't want to be overlooked by God. I want God to speak to me personally on a daily basis. I want to be able to spend time with him so I can gain the strength that I need to be able to endure all of the things that the devil throws at me. I want to be able to have God know me so that when the time comes, friends, to put together that group that is going to go back to heaven, I want God to know who I am. I want him to know my name. I want him to know my life. And I want to be able to go back to heaven with him and live for eternity. And I hope that God knows every one of us in a personal way. We need to study the Word. We need to seek the face of God on a daily basis. There's coming a time, and scriptures reveal it, that Jesus is going to stand up in the sanctuary where he has been pleading your case and mine before the Father, praying for us on a daily basis. I'm so happy that Jesus prays for me. Aren't you happy he prays for you? And he prays for your family. He lifts us up before the Father on a daily basis. But there's coming a time when Jesus is going to stand up and he's going to say in the sanctuary, let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. And let him who is vile continue to be vile. And let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. You can find that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. There is a time, friends, when probation is going to end. God's patience is going to come to an end. This world is not going to exist forever the way we know it, the way we experience it today. There is going to be a day of reckoning. And there is a time when God is going to call into account the life of every man, woman, and child on this earth that has ever lived here. And everybody is going to have to give an answer and account for everything in their life. And God is calling for us today to bring that all to Jesus so that he can pray for us up in heaven and he can wipe away all the bad things, all the past mistakes, all the times that we've said, you can't tell me what to do. And he can wipe it away with the blood of Jesus. And the good news is this, friends, is that when Jesus wipes his shed blood across the record of your life, the Father can no longer see your sin. Praise God for that. He wipes it out completely. I heard in class today that someone had once said, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Is that true forgiveness? I don't think so. When God takes the blood of Jesus and wipes it across the record of our life, God doesn't say, well, I forgive you, but I'm going to remember it for eternity. When God wipes the blood of Jesus across the record of our life, friends, there is no memory of that anymore. It's as if it had been thrown into the deepest ocean and covered up with sand, never to be seen or heard of again. Praise God for that. Because there's some sins in my life I hope nobody ever finds out about. And I certainly don't want God to be able to speak to me about it in the judgment. I am thankful that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, friends, to wipe away the sins of my life. And as we come to him and confess those sins and ask for forgiveness, we have the assurance that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all sins. I appeal to you today, whoever you may be, whatever's happening in your life, that today you will come and confess to Jesus your need of Jesus. And you will come to him and ask for forgiveness and cleansing, the only cleansing that he can give, to wipe away all your sins. Praise God that he saw in the future that you and I would be on this earth and we would need Jesus. Do you need Jesus today? Praise God. We need Jesus every day. We must be able to give a reason for our faith to people around us. What do we say to them? How many of us here today would be able to share our faith in the teachings of the church from God's Word? You know, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and a lot of people, they're in the church, but they couldn't begin to share their faith and the reason for their faith from the Word of God. 150 years ago, the people of this church were known as people of the Word. And today, we don't study the Word very much. We've gotten away from it because there are so many other electronic devices that capture our time. We spend too much time doing other things. How many of us could honestly say to Jesus that I start my day in prayer and Bible study and listening to the Holy Spirit? How many of us would earnestly search the Scriptures for truth and blessing? You see, there are a lot of people that read the Scriptures in a terse little fashion, looking for some little devotional thought for the day. There are some people that search the Scriptures diligently to support the truth that they believe in. But how many believe that they search the Scriptures searching for the truth that day for their particular life? You see, these Pharisees searched the Scriptures diligently, but they searched it to substantiate what they believed, their own particular church teachings. And how many of us search the Scriptures just to substantiate our church teachings, our 28 fundamental beliefs in the church? How many of us are actually searching the Scriptures daily, honestly, searching for the truth of God's Word that would particularly apply to our own personal life? We need to daily feed on the Word of God. Our souls need that. We don't need to just spend time in devotional books, devotional studies for the year. I mean, all those are good. I'm not against any of those. I'm not against reading the Spirit of Prophecy books. It's excellent. When Linda and I first came into church years ago from the Baptist church, someone gave us a book called Early Writings. Have you ever heard that? We scrambled every night to be able to read that. When I was in the Baptist church, I never owned a Bible. But Linda bought me a Bible in 1984 when we came into the church. And we began studying this little book called Early Writings and looking at the Scriptures to see if what we had heard was true or not. We were being good Bereans. And because of that, we began to flourish and grow spiritually because we compared with the Scriptures what we were hearing in that little book. And it's amazing how that helped our spiritual life to flourish and grow. I would challenge you and I would encourage you and invite you today to read some of those books from the Spirit of Prophecy and compare that with what the Bible has to say and see how that makes your life flourish and grow. What a blessing. You know, when we read the books, Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, the Acts of the Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, and a Great Controversy, that covers everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's like taking a seminary course. And if you could read through that whole series, the Conflict of the Ages series, you would have so much knowledge that would increase your experience with God in such a dramatic way, and it would be a great blessing for you. We need to be able to feast on the Word of God. And if we start putting other things in the way, friends, we're going to lose that contact, that strength that we need from Jesus. He himself said he was the vine, and we are the branches. And without him, you and I can do nothing. We can't even exist in this world the way God wants us to without being connected to Jesus on a daily basis. There's coming a time when there's going to be a famine in this land, friends, not just for food, but a famine for the Word of God, where the devil has put so many things in the path of his people in this world that are going to be distracting them from doing what God wants them to do, from knowing the truth. There's so many distortions to the truth today, so many fables that are out there that people believe in, even people in our church that should know better. They believe in things that are not accurate from the Word of God. I told you that story. I went to a funeral of one of my family members, and one of the distant relatives there on my brother-in-law's side, he was telling us a story that when he grew up, his dad used to punish him by making him go to his room and read the Bible. He said he had read it 100 times. He must have been pretty bad, I think. I have to read the Bible 100 times for punishment. Anyway, he was telling this story about Jesus when he was 12 years old. He pushed a kid out of a window and killed him. And I'm thinking, dude, you must have been reading that Bible upside down or something, because I never heard anything like that. That is a real distortion. And you know, there's a lot of people that read the Bible and they impart their ideals into the Bible. That's called eisegesis. Oh no, we're supposed to do exegesis. We're supposed to take the truth of God's Word out of the Bible. We're supposed to search diligently for that pearl of great price and extract out of the Bible the truths that God wants us to know from his Word. Eisegesis is where we impress upon the text those things that we want the Bible to say to us, our views, our tradition, our philosophy, our theology. We put that in the Word and make it say what we want it to. And there are a lot of people that twist the Word of God a lot. And how can we know the difference between those twisted things that are blended with truth and error? How can we know that if we never study the Scriptures for ourselves? We must spend time with God, face to face. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're too busy in your life to spend time with God in prayer and Bible study, you're too busy. You need to set aside time where you can actually spend time with God, listening to him. And then you need to be able to humble yourself before him and to be able to do what God tells you to do. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you.'" One of the reasons that we can't tell the difference between truth and error and why our life is so tough at times is because we're not connected to the Father or His Son. And we struggle in life, and the devil does stuff to us all the time. Life is tough and demanding. And without Jesus, friends, you and I cannot survive what's coming upon this world. Many people's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what's coming upon this world. And unless we're connected, grounded in Jesus Christ, friends, we're not going to be able to endure it. I don't care what your religious beliefs are. I don't care what your denomination or affiliation with what church. If you're not grounded in Jesus, you cannot endure. Apart from him, you can do nothing. We need to be with Jesus. And I believe in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." In this text, he is telling us to turn away from the things that separate us from him. That's called repentance. That's called stop doing those things that are causing this separation between us and God. And we got to stop telling God, "You can't tell me what to do." We need to stop resisting the Holy Spirit and his servants who he sends to us to speak the truth to us, to help guide us along the way. We need to be able to listen and to have this intimacy with God, walking with him and talking with him and listening to him and then obeying him in what he shares with us. In his book, Choosing to Love Again, Dr. Gary Rosberg writes on page 41, "Counselors all over the world provide therapy from a secular perspective. They've been taught that people only need to look inside themselves and rely on their innate goodness to solve their problems. And if that doesn't work, they just need to alter behavior to bring about positive change. The idea that people were created to have a relationship with a living God is seen as a part of the pathology or illness that a person needs to be freed from, rather than the very answer to our deepest need." You see, problems don't dissolve because we distance ourselves from God. Problems are solved because we rely on him. We trust in him. We come to him for answers and solutions. And we come to him for all of those needs that you and I have. In verse 13, it says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." You see, in verse 8, God is trying to tell us here that he is allowing difficulties to come into our life so that we will begin to seek for him, to recognize him, to rely upon him for the needs that you and I have. In God we trust. This country used to believe those words. We've become very secular in this country today. And I wonder if we really do trust in God today. There's ups and downs in everybody's life, but we need to trust in God. God wants us to be rooted and to be grounded in his love. He wants us to be a community of saints that love him and one another. God wants us to be filled with the fullness of his love, with his joy, with his peace, with all those good things that God wants to put into our life. Do you know that sometimes when things go bad in a church and there's dissension and division, you know what the real problem is? A lack of love. a lack of love for Jesus, a lack of love for the truth in His Word, and a lack of love for one another. And the more we love each other, friends, and the more we love Jesus, the happier our life will be. Those are the two great commandments that Jesus shared with that lawyer that was trying to trick Him. To love God and to love your neighbor. This is what God is calling us to do. And we can find great peace and joy and happiness in doing that. Ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to be sharing our faith. And this becomes easy when we know the Father, when we've been studying the Word, when we've been listening to Jesus, when we've been doing what God asked us to do. It is easy for us to share with others the truth that we have discovered and the experience that we've had with Jesus in that conversion, in that forgiveness, in that blessing that He gives us every day. It becomes as natural as breathing to be able to share with others what Jesus has done for us. So we must humble ourselves. We must pray to God. We must be willing to listen to God and not just to trust in our own opinions. It's time to realize that if we want peace, if we want joy, if we want happiness in our life, then we need to have a connection with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can happen. John 14:6 says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." You see, if we really want all of those things that heaven has to offer, then we need Jesus. And if we are ever going to enjoy the blessing God is promising us in verse 14, where He says here, "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land," then we must turn away from our wicked, self-centered, selfish ways and turn to God. And He will hear us from heaven. And He will not only heal the land, but He will forgive us of our sins. And He will, regardless of how great or how many those sins may be, He will bring happiness and joy and peace into our life and give us the assurance that when Jesus comes, we'll have a place in the kingdom with the Father too. I look forward to that day. We need to humble ourselves. Being found in the appearance as a man and humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross is what Jesus did. He humbled Himself before the Father. We need to seek the face of God. And we need to begin to pray. Jesus did. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that on one of these days, Jesus went out into the hills to pray. And He spent the whole night praying to God. You want to be healed today? You want your sin-sick soul to be healed and strengthened and forgiven? Then I encourage you to come to Jesus. In 1 John 1:9, it says that the Father is willing and ready to not only to forgive, but to cleanse all those who will come and confess to Him. He's ready to do that for every one of us today. And He's calling for us today to humble ourselves before Him and to come to Him and seek His face. Look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it says there in verse 21, and it says at the last part, the question is asked, "Why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house?" And how many times has bad things happened in your life and you ask the question, "Why is God doing this to me?" And there are people that ask, "Where's God in all of this?" And people ask those kind of questions, make those statements. "Where's God? He's abandoned us. Why is this happening?" And in verse 22 it says, "And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath He brought all this evil upon them." Sometimes, in our experience, friends, we're not always faithful to God. Sometimes bad things happen to good people just because the devil hates you. He's not our friend. And no matter how he tries to entice us and make life look so great, he hates every one of us. He hates us because we love Jesus. And he's going to do everything he can to persecute us and make life as difficult and as challenging as he possibly can. And without Jesus, you're going to succumb to those kind of things. We need Jesus, and we need His strength. And we need to spend time with Him face to face. And we need to be able to come to Him and confess our sin and ask for that kind of healing that only He can give. I want that for my life today, don't you? You want that for your life? Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have made a promise that if we would just come and confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, Lord, I pray that you would take your blood that you shed at Calvary and cover the life of every one of us. Blot out our record of evil and wrong. And cover it with your blood so the Father will never, ever see it again. And today, Lord, give us your strength. And as we come to you daily, spending time with you face to face, I pray, Lord, that you would give us your strength and your victory. And we ask it in your name. Amen.